and welcome to this week's edition of Legal Line right here on the Legal Line Network. This is Bob Pittman, and I'm your guide each and every week, hoping to point you in the right direction with regard to your legal problems, maybe demystify the law just a little bit and translate some of that legalese. We have really just one ground rule, and that is that we don't like to mention actual names, at least actual names of the alleged bad guys. If there are any bad guys, you know, it's always allegedly, right? Whenever you hear the stories about legal stuff, it's always this person allegedly did this, or the alleged whatever, maybe the alleged attorney. Oh, we can't say that, can we? We might want to do that. I am an attorney, and I'm that attorney who makes house calls, and each and every week around 3 o'clock on Wednesday Pacific time, I'm making a house call to you, maybe a business call. Maybe you're listening to the Bobcast not at 3 o'clock, and that's kind of the fun thing about the new radio is that you can listen anytime you want. You can download it to your iPod, your iPhone. You can listen as you're working. Maybe you're working on a weekend. Whatever you're doing, I'm glad you stopped by. You, of course, can stop by bobpittman.com anytime and pick up our latest Bobcast. The streams that we do at 3 p.m. Wednesday become Bobcasts a day or two after that, and we always are happy to have people stop by and listen. You can find some interesting past podcasts, Bobcasts, that are archived under the Legal Line page at the Legal Line Archive, so be sure to stop by and do just that. You can call us during the program if you're listening to the live stream at 253-471-9694. Questions for guests when we have guests, or legal question, comment. Happy to have you during the program. Again, each and every Wednesday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Happy to discuss all this legal stuff with you. You can email Jeff, by the way, during the week, jeff@bobpittman.com. Of course, Bob Pittman, you know it's the two T's, right? So stop by bobpittman.com often and leave comments at the website too. There are all kinds of ways for you to interact with the program, and that's what makes it so much fun. Looking at the law this week, what do we have? The American Bar Association is reporting that Houston attorney Jeffrey Stern has been indicted on a murder-for-hire plot against his wife. Now, she's standing by him even though she took a bullet to the stomach. Yikes. Don't you love family law? I think about my first involvement as an attorney, a brand-new attorney doing some divorces. And by the way, I don't do them anymore. It was awful. I see that the police have picked up Jeffrey's mistress as well. I wonder, it's fascinating stories that are out there. I was at the courthouse the other day, and I ducked into a courtroom, and I noticed people looking. The police looked at me when I came in, and I just, you know, I looked pretty harmless, and so sat down and watched, and it was a robbery case. Remember, you can go down to the courthouse. And I really think we all should, from time to time, just go down to our courthouse, and unless it's a closed hearing for some reason, that's pretty rare, by the way, and there'll be something posted on the door, but you want to be quiet when you go in, be respectful, don't disrupt things, but you can walk into that courtroom and sit down and watch the process, listen to justice, see justice being done. That's much better than most of the TV shows out there, real justice going on. I listened to a closing argument the other day, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, on TV this would be like 35 seconds. And so, but real life, much, much longer, because I don't know how they do that. And it always seems to work on TV, doesn't it? All right, in another report, a U.S. District Court judge is reporting to us that interest in child porn is caused by a gene that you're born with, and it's a gene that you can't get rid of. Where do these guys come up with this stuff? The appellate court has called for resentencing before a different judge, one who doesn't subscribe to unsupported theories of genetics. I don't know. Judges feel like they know everything, and I guess even in the genetic area. Some commentators are thinking that the judge is genetically inclined towards dumb opinions. What? A federal judge? Can't be, right? Federal judges can't do that. I don't know if there are any federal judges listening. I could get in lots of trouble here, huh? We all love lawyers. Here's an Oxford grad who's suing her law school because she failed to pass the bar exam. What do you think of that? She says she found the bar psychologically difficult after attending Oxford. She wants $162,000. What do you think? Okay, I guess in part because we're doing a remote broadcast at the Fred Oldfield Western Heritage and Arts Center about a month or so out. Here's a Western note. When new partners join the Houston firm of Sussman Godfrey, they're taken out immediately and fitted for a new pair of cowboy boots. No, not horseshoes. Cowboy boots. I like it. And here's from the oh no category. A 14-year-old student who blew spitballs at her fellow students in a cafeteria has been expelled from school and charged with 3 counts of misdemeanor assault. Give me a break. Criminal charges? I'm not pro-crime, but I kind of think we've gotten a little bit out of control sometimes, especially with kids. I mean, we want them to know that we're not supposed to do bad things, and it's not a good idea to be blowing spitballs in the cafeteria. But is it really a crime? And do you really get expelled? Maybe you get expelled sounds like permanently for the rest of the year. I don't know, suspended maybe for a day or something. I don't know. What did they used to do, and why aren't we still doing that? I don't know. Thanks to the ABA for those little tidbits. If you have comments on these or any other matter, I hope you'll send us an email. And it's just jeff@bobpittman.com. Or you can call during the program at 253-471-9694. We'd love to get your calls, comments, whatever's going on in your world. Sometimes we have short programs. Like today, we have a fairly short program. Sometimes we have long programs. We'll have, by the way, Paul Jakeman talking about real estate. He's with Park 52, a great real estate company, does a lot of management work in the Tacoma-Pierce County area. He'll be coming on 2 weeks. That'll be, I think, February. What would that be? I'm not good at math here sometimes. I'm not bad at math, but that's like the 23rd. What's 9 plus 14, right? So that's 23. So February 23rd should be a good show. I had a chance to visit the open house at the King County Courts yesterday, and along with hearing a lot of good stuff about what's going on in our court system, and yes, there really is good stuff going on in the court system, we heard from two participants, and I'll tell you, it really, I wish everybody could have heard it. I wish I'd been there with a recorder, tape recorder. I guess they're not tape recorders anymore, are they? But I wish I'd been there with one. It would have been great. But one person had gone to drug court. And I think a lot of us forget that there even is a drug court, and it's kind of an idea of diverting people off to a special drug court. And what a success story. I mean, she was headed for probably a short lifetime, at least on the streets, and a short lifetime as a drug addict. Maybe she would have been dead by now, and probably a long time as a resident of our prison system, which I don't need to remind you that costs us a lot of money. But she got derailed from her life of crime and back into a productive life by the drug court. They actually go through a graduation. In fact, I'm going to check and see. It'd be fun to go to one of the graduation ceremonies. But she graduated from the program, and from listening to her, she's somebody that you wouldn't mind having in the neighborhood. Another person was being chewed up alive in our divorce courts. Imagine that. And she desperately needed some help. She couldn't afford an attorney. And remember, while we're all entitled to an attorney in a criminal matter, there is no such right in a non-criminal matter. But you look at some of the non-criminal matters, and they affect us where it hurts. I mean, here in divorce court, maybe a landlord-tenant issue, and it could be on either side, I guess, although usually landlords can afford attorneys. But I don't know. I'm not even sure I can afford myself. When you look at hourly rates and costs and stuff, it's awfully expensive to engage an attorney. Anyway, she was able to get help from the Northwest Justice Project, and the gist of it is the family survived. But through the efforts of this, the great attorneys there at the Northwest Justice Project that I mean, they just do a tremendous job. And while we're at it, hats off to Columbia Legal Services. They're doing a really good job as well. You know, there's really no justice if we don't have access to justice. We can talk about it all day long. We can read about it, see it on TV and stuff, but equal justice doesn't mean much if only the wealthy can afford an attorney. And you have to be pretty darn wealthy to afford some of these rates for the attorneys. If you have questions, again, comments, be sure to email them in to us. Give us a call during the program. Again, 253-471-9694. I think we had a couple of questions that came in this week. Maybe Diane will help us out here.
We did. We had Karen from Seattle sent in a question. She says, I noticed a neighbor down the street is putting up an improvement to his house that is right up to the boundary line with his neighbor. I thought there had to be some room between neighbors. Is this even safe? Is there a fire code? Or yeah. if there's a fire, I mean...
Yeah, you know, and fire is a good thing to think about because you look at a lot of these conditions and the rules are there to protect us from, you know, buildings falling down or maybe fire, and you get houses that these are called setbacks. So if you have no setback, and usually if you drive around housing developments, you'll see that the houses have some kind of space in between them. And there's a setback. If you look in your zoning ordinances, go to the planning department for any of the cities and counties, and you can find out what the setbacks are. You know, typically you'll see, you know, 5-10 foot setbacks, meaning that you can't build within that area. So if you had a five foot setback, for example, on each side of the property line, then there's going to be at least 10 feet between the houses. So almost always there's a setback. I've seen some, I guess we've all seen them probably, some of the zero lot line developments and stuff, but I don't know. Then they're looking at the total area, and they've thought about fire safety in some other fashion. But it may be that these people are just violating the codes, and they need to get hold of the planning department.
Well, that's a question. Do you have to have permits to build, for one?
Oh, yeah, good question. You do. Yes, you have to have a building permit for almost anything that you're
going to build. And is there a way Karen can check to see if they do, in fact, have a permit?
Yes. If she's in the city, I would get hold of the city planning folks. If she's in the county planning folks. You know, if you go onto Google and just type in, you know, let's say it's the city of Seattle, you know, city of Seattle planning department. So, and you'll pull up some information and give them a call. And find out. If there is a building permit, then you'll be able to find it and see it. I have a hard time imagining that, especially up in, I guess it was Seattle, that there aren't some setbacks. That just, you know, and you look at setbacks, usually there's a bigger setback from the street, usually the front yard, we'll say, and even in the back. The older properties that had the alleys, there would be a setback from the alley. Of course, a lot of properties now don't have alleys, and so they're setting back from the property line. But almost always there are setbacks. I'm trying to imagine a circumstance where there would, I mean, they're all, that's regulated. And sometimes people don't get building permits. That's one of the things right now that's going on where people are doing aerial photos, or the counties are, I guess, and they'll do an aerial photo maybe every, I don't know, 5 years, let's say, and they'll look and see what's gone on, because you can see when someone has added something to the property, and then you can check and see, did they get a building permit? You know, it's a hassle to have to deal with all the governmental stuff, and I think sometimes they go way overboard. They go way overboard with a lot of regulations and stuff, but most of them are there really to help us, and I'm not trying to be, you know, pro-government totally here and just carry the party line, but we want some regulation. It's always a question of how far, and they go too far a lot of times. But the basics, like having basic building codes to make sure that the property is safe to inhabit, is important. And, you know, like a deck is a good example. Sometimes people will go and put a new deck on their property. Maybe it's a second-story deck. Well, it better meet the building codes or somebody might get hurt. Somebody might die in that. So, yeah, you have to go get a building permit. And then the building inspector comes out, a little bit of a hassle, but, you know, we have to balance all this stuff, too.
Good. I hope that helps, Karen. We got another email from Ron in Federal Way, and he says, I formed a corporation with the state. It was pretty easy. How do I get a tax identification number so I can open a bank account?
Oh, good question. It is really easy these days to get a federal identification number. That's the EIN. It's actually, I think, employer identification number. So that you use that instead of a Social Security. It's like the Social Security number for a business. So like my law practice has a federal identification number, and that I use that when I report on maybe an employee situation or having a bank account in the name of the business, things like that. Corporations have federal identification numbers. You can just go online now. It's so easy. You go to irs.gov. It's actually a pretty friendly website. They've done a lot of good work on the irs.gov. It's got a good search function. If you want to do it by mail or fax, you can go in and do a search for SS-4, and you'll pull up the latest version of an SS-4, which is the application for a federal identification number. But probably what you can do is you look there for apply online. And if you're the person actually who started the business, you just click on that and you go to that site, and it'll walk you through and ask you questions and walk you through the application process. And at the other end will come your federal identification number. And then you can go and open the bank account and do whatever else you have to do regarding federal reporting if you're going to have employees and stuff. Of course, now the state, when you file the corporation, and by the way, you can do that online now too. It's amazing what you can do. I guess I shouldn't be so amazed, but it's amazing what you can do online. And you can form your corporation online. Use a credit card to pay for the incorporation, get your federal ID number. Then you need to work up some background documents for the entity. Let's say it is a corporation. You want to have bylaws for the corporation. You want to have meetings or minutes, or at least a consent that says, hey, here's who the officers are going to be, the directors, et cetera. And so there are a few things that you go and add to that. And here's one big tip. You really want to think about having your accountant friends on board with you, because accountants can help you so much when it comes to starting a business. There's a great book, by the way. It's on our reading list at the Legal Line recommended reading. But it's called The Legal Guide for Starting and Running a Small Business. It's a terrific publication. Talks about all the things that you might need to think about or want to think about when it comes to starting and running a small business. So many people get involved in starting and running a small business. And it's good to have an attorney kind of on the sidelines who can help you from time to time with issues. It is good to educate yourself, though. And I think it's really important that you educate yourself about different things, even down to the point of what type of entity should we use for a business. You can use a corporation, and within that, you can have a regular corporation that's a C corporation. This is just really tax, that's subchapter C of the Internal Revenue Code. So that's like a Microsoft would be, or IBM or GM or someone like that is going to be a regular C Corp. A lot of small businesses are also C Corps. That's where they file their own tax return and pay their own income taxes and then distribute out to the shareholders, or maybe pay salaries and bonuses and things like that. Or you can have an S Corp. That's where it's really a pass-through entity. It's the same corporation as far as the state's concerned, but for IRS purposes, it's a pass-through, so that you're only going to pay income tax on the bottom line on your normal 1040. You'll still file an income tax return under a sub S, but you'll get a K-1 generated out that puts everything over on your own tax return. Or you might use a limited liability company. That's being used an awful lot these days for businesses. And that, again, is what we call a pass-through entity in general. And that means that all the tax situations, the income and expenses and everything, all sort of pass through to you, and you end up putting that on your 1040 like a subchapter S corporation. So take a look at that book. Go online, pick up your ID number. Have a CPA on the sidelines, or accountant, enrolled agents. Don't forget our enrolled agent friends. But check with your accountant. Have an attorney on the sidelines who occasionally can maybe look at an agreement for you, check an agreement. Take a look at the reading list that we have up at Legal Line, and I think you'll find that you'll have lots of help in getting through that process. And, of course, you know, check back with us. Send us an email. Give us a call. Again, you can email us. It's just jeff@bobpittman.com. It's two T's. You're already there, all right? You're at bobpittman.com right now. Stay tuned, by the way, for more information about upcoming programs. We are going to have a remote broadcast coming up in March. We'll give you some more details probably as soon as next week. But we're going to be looking for everybody to turn up out at the Puyallup Fairgrounds. It's the Fred Oldfield Western, what's it called, Western Art. I should have, doggone it, I know that, and it's slipping. Fred Oldfield Western Heritage and Arts Center. That'll be in March, later in March. We'll give you more details on that, but we're going to do a remote broadcast. Should be a lot of fun. We're going to do that as our first remote broadcast and see how that goes and fine-tune it and hopefully have a number of remote broadcasts going on during the course of the year. So check back with bobpittman.com from time to time. Check out the archives. Take a look. Send us your comments. We're building all this stuff for you. So be sure to be involved in this process. And if you're on Facebook, do a search for Legal Line with Bob Pittman and sign on to our Facebook site as well. We're having a little bit of fun going through the Facebook process too. Recommendations, comments, always welcome. So stay in control of your legal affairs at least until next week. This is Bob Pittman for the Legal Line Network. We'll see you soon.